everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's May 2024, and you're listening to episode 394, which is a conversation about the He Gets Us ad campaign. On this episode, I'm joined by Bob Perry, who has an MA in Christian Apologetics from Biola University. Bob is a speaker, teacher, writer, and retired aviator. He blogs at truehorizon.org. Bob has written an online feature article for the Christian Research Journal. His article is called Marketing and Almost Jesus, Evaluating the He Gets Us campaign. And you can read his article for free at our website, equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. Bob, it's great to have you back on the podcast.
Good to be here, Melanie.
Well, today, as I mentioned, we are going to be talking about some of those ads that people saw in the United States during the Super Bowl from something called the He Gets Us campaign. And they started last year and they continued on this year. Now, this year, the focus was on who is your neighbor. And basically, they want people to know that Jesus thinks differently and radically about our neighbor. And whether or not people are Christians, they want them to consider the claims of Jesus. So this year, they had a video, a commercial of all different kinds of people washing feet, kind of, I think, thinking about Jesus washing the disciples' feet in the upper room before his crucifixion. And at the very end of this commercial, it says, Jesus didn't teach hate, he washed feet. He gets us, all of us. And so that's kind of the approach that this marketing campaign, I guess, for Jesus is doing. So we want to kind of take a look at this campaign during this podcast. And so Bob has written an article about it for us. And I want to ask you at first, well, who's behind this He Gets Us marketing campaign and why should that be important? I just described one of these videos out there and the fact that it says on the screen that Jesus gets us, he gets all of us.
Right. And I know this is bad because what you just said about how Jesus washed the disciples' feet and the way the campaign ad shows that is very compelling. It's very much about how Jesus loves us. So you feel bad to have any kind of criticism of that, but I feel like that's part of why we're here, like at the Christian Research Institute or wherever, to think about these things. And so that I just want people to think more about it. And like you said, one of the factors is who's behind this campaign. So I did a little research on it. It turns out that it's being funded by it's called the Signatory Donor Advised Fund. So people give to this Signatory Donor Advised Fund, and then that fund funds the ad campaign. The people who give to Signatory are purposefully anonymous. So we don't really know who they are, but some of the things have leaked out. I'll get to that in a second. But the advertising firm that has handled this campaign since it began is called Haven. It's an ad agency out of Michigan that was the originator of the campaign. So Signatory donors give their money, and then the donor advised funds pays Haven to create this campaign. The founder of Haven is a guy named Bill McKendry, who had previously done advertising campaigns for Focus on the Family and the Alliance Defending Freedom, which people point out who are opposed to what He Gets Us is doing. They say that the ADF and Focus on the Family have been opposed to LGBTQ rights in the past. So they have a problem with that, them from the left side of the, I guess we would say, political spectrum. And one of the biggest funders of that has leaked out, who is a guy named David Green, who's a billionaire founder of Hobby Lobby, who's also spoken out in support of traditional marriage. So because of that, some on the left have opposed He Gets Us for that reason, thinking that it's somehow anti-LGBTQ. But when you look at the campaign, you kind of get a different picture. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I also wanted to point out that this Haven up in Michigan that created the ad agency that originally created it, last year was replaced at the end of the year by a small company called Come Near, which you can find pretty much no information on this ad agency. It's got, all we know is that it's got between 2 and 10 employees and 6 associates. And it looks like it was founded specifically to do the He Gets Us campaign, because there's been like $100 million has been promised or targeted for to be put into this campaign. And apparently Come Near ad agency is the one who's going to oversee how that happens. So the bottom line is that when you, if you just want to look at the funders of the campaign, you're going to have people complain about it from both sides of the spectrum. So I guess that's a good thing. It's not real obvious who you want to disparage, I guess, if you're trying to undermine He Gets Us. But I don't want to use either of those reasons. So I know people are interested in that. So I just thought I'd give that background information.
That's helpful, because this campaign is, I guess, targeted at non-Christians. And it sounds like both Christians have concerns about the campaign and its message. And obviously, non-Christians are saying, well, Christians are behind it, so we should oppose it. So what is the actual mission of He Gets Us? I mean, all we know from what they say on their website is, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, we invite you to learn about the way of Jesus. And so what are they saying is the way of Jesus? So what is their actual mission of what they hope to accomplish with this series of ads?
Well, if you go on their website, under He Gets Us mission, it says, and this is a quote, "to move beyond the mess of our current cultural moment to a place where all of us are invited to rediscover the love story of Jesus, Christians, non-Christians, and everybody in between, all of us." So, I mean, it's hard to argue with that goal, that mission. But part of the reason it's hard to argue with it is because it's pretty nondescript. A lot hinges on what you mean when you say the love story of Jesus. And I say that because in our contemporary culture, the definition of a love story obviously depends on how you define the word love. This may sound nitpicky or whatever, but it's important because we see disagreements in our culture that hinge on this very idea that love in a biblical sense is always truth delivered with grace, is the way I would put it. That, you know, sometimes the best way to love someone is to tell them the truth. And Jesus was a truth teller. Jesus said he was the truth. So if you want to say that Jesus is love, you're obviously correct, but there's more that goes into it than just he approves of everything. Because the culture has redefined the word love in the last few years to mean affirmation. In other words, if you want to show love for someone, you should affirm whatever they do, whatever they claim to believe, who they are, I guess is one way they put it. If we have to understand what the word love means, if we're going to say that the mission is to rediscover the love story of Jesus, we need to understand what that means. And that's when you get into the details of that, of how He Gets Us goes about accomplishing that mission. That's where I start to have some concerns. That is what I wrote about in the article.
So as we think about this mission and how they've defined it, you know, what is your assessment of how well they're doing that? I mean, I think we're going to unpack it a little bit more because we're talking about their portrayal of Jesus, which is very much at the forefront through the actions of people, right, that they're showing,
right,
especially
right.
In this foot washing commercial that we had this year. And so what's your assessment of how it's defining its mission? Do you think it's being successfully perceived by the people watching these commercials?
Well, probably, yeah. I think the people who it's targeting are getting the message. But when you dig into the details, that's, you know, when you say that the mission is to rediscover the love story of Jesus. If you dig further into the website, they have emphasis points under that mission. And there's just three of them that kind of stood out to me that I wanted to talk about. One is, and I'm going to quote their website again. It says, "He Gets Us is not against the church, but we are not a back to church campaign. We're hoping to help people consider who Jesus is and why he matters." So in that statement, you can see that people who equate Christianity with the church, mostly in a negative way, is part of their target audience. We see a lot of ex-Christians these days. You know, the term ex-evangelical has become a very common term to describe these people who have walked away from the church because of the way they think they treat people, you know, whatever. They've had experiences, negative experiences about the church, and He Gets Us is trying to appeal to those kind of people, the people who say, we're not the church, we're Christians who follow Jesus, or the people who would say Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. So there's an appeal to those kind of people, but in this idea that, you know, we're not against the church, we just don't want you to think of us as trying to get you to come back to church. We're kind of pushing for something different here, or I shouldn't say pushing for, we're emphasizing something different about what Christianity is and who Jesus is. The next point is, and I'm going to quote again, "Jesus loves gay people and Jesus loves trans people. The LGBTQ plus community, like all people, is invited to explore the story of Jesus and consider his example of unconditional love, grace, and forgiveness of others. No matter who you are invited to explore the story of Jesus and consider what it means for your life." So I point this one out because when you look at their mission statement and the points, their emphasis points, this is the only group of people who they single out as kind of their target audience, LGBTQ plus community. Now, I don't know. I just think that's odd. I mean, the LGBTQ plus community is the tip of the cultural spear. You know, if you want to talk about what we usually refer to as the culture war, this whole thing of sexuality is at the center of it. So maybe that's the reason that they picked that out. I just wanted to point it out. That's the only community that they specifically mention in their mission statement. Third, this is the last one that I wanted to emphasize. This is another quote that He Gets Us is certainly affiliated with Christianity, but our point is that the story of Jesus doesn't belong to anyone. It has something to offer to everyone, inviting Christians, non-Christians, and those who aren't sure what they believe to consider Jesus. The example of his life can inspire all of us to pursue unconditional love for ourselves and for others, and that can encourage us to learn more about Jesus and his mission. So, while it's true on the surface that Jesus' story doesn't belong to anyone, I just think this kind of has a tone of universalism in it, every way is the right way. We just want you to follow Jesus to get there. Maybe I'm reading more into that than I should, but Jesus is the God of Scripture. That means some specific things, which we're going to talk about. But the idea that Jesus says, let me get back to it, to pursue unconditional love for ourselves. Remember that thought, because I want to talk about that a little bit later too. But anyway, from those three points, I think you can identify who He Gets Us target audience actually is.
So you've been talking about quoting actually from their website, and they talk about Jesus, that Jesus doesn't belong to, he belongs to all of us. And so who exactly is the Jesus that they are portraying through this campaign? Because one of the things that we do at the Christian Research Institute, and we've done through the publishing of the journal for more than 45 years, is to also critique maybe movements within the church or anyone that is starting to depart from biblical orthodoxy. And, you know, Christology, the person of Jesus, is very big because obviously Jesus is the center of the Christian faith. I mean, it doesn't exist without who Christ is. And so, you know, they're portraying a certain version of Christ. So what do you mean by the Jesus that they're portraying exactly?
Well, I think before we get into that, we have to talk about who the target audience is. Because that, if once you understand the target audience, then you can talk about the Jesus they're portraying to that audience. So from their mission statement, from what I just read to you about from their website, the emphasis points they have, you can kind of come to this conclusion, I think, is that He Gets Us is a marketing campaign that's based on the mission statement details I just read to you. And that makes their audience, I would say, three things. They want to resonate with those people who are apathetic toward Christian spirituality. So people who don't care, the nuns, if you know, we talk about the nuns all the time. They want to appeal to people who don't have any real motivation to believe in anything at all. And they want them to consider Jesus. I mean, that's good. I think they want to pre-evangelize unchurched skeptics. So people who are very secular in the culture, who don't have any church or religious affiliation at all, they see He Gets Us as a way to get them to consider Christianity as the way to go. And I also think they want to reconcile with the disaffected masses who, as I already said, have been walking away from the church altogether. So they're marketing Jesus to a secular, post-Christian culture, and I commend them for that. That's a absolutely fantastic mission to have. All I'm saying is that I believe the way they're going about reaching that audience is being influenced more by cultural considerations than biblical considerations. And because of that, I think there are three red flags that have popped up for me in what I see going on with He Gets Us. First, the Jesus they're portraying, which you kind of mentioned, we'll get into that in a minute. Also, their method for reaching the audience that we just identified. And then when you combine those two, I think there are some theological difficulties that bring some real questions into what He Gets Us is actually trying to do and what they are doing as we speak.
You heard me say it a lot of times on this podcast, but we really would like to ask you to partner with us and give us the gift of your time by helping us out with the algorithm online. Because basically, algorithms run the internet, and the more something that is looked at or talked about, they will suggest it to other people. So we want more people to listen to this free podcast and be able to be equipped, particularly if they are Christians looking to engage with people about the truth of Christianity. But actually, this podcast is for everyone because we hope we bring a lot of food for thought to people, whether they're Christians or they're not religious at all. And so it's been a while since we've had a rating on Apple Podcasts. Really, that's the best way for us to be seen. We only have 82 ratings, but I know more than 82 people listen to this podcast. So if you can take some time to help us out, that'd be great. The last one we got was from Leslie Joy 93 back in April. And this is what she said. Very thoughtful. I've listened to 2 episodes so far. I love how thoughtful the conversation is on controversial issues. Really focuses on understanding scripture and living life in light of that. So thanks, Leslie Joy, for your insights. And we appreciate your comment on Apple Podcasts. And I want to encourage all of our listeners, I know you're probably putting it off, but please do go on over to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating or review. Even if you only give us a starred review and not a written review, but if you could take a minute to just share what you enjoy about the podcast, we'd be so grateful. The other way that you can help us out is to just give us a tip, because guess what? We're subscription free. Nothing is under a paywall. Every single one of these articles, and you get a new one every single week of the year, is completely free to everyone. One way you can also help us out is to share them on social media, email them to a friend, tell someone else about the podcast and the journal. But really, if you help us out with the tip, we'd be very grateful. I mean, a subscription used to be $33.50, and now it's completely free. So if you would be open to skipping a meal out or a coffee at your favorite barista place, that would be great. Maybe $5, $10, $15, something like that. Head on over to equip.org. And if you click on journal, you will see that you can go to Postmodern Realities Podcast. And when you do that, any one of the landing pages has a link where you can give us a tip. In addition, I don't know if you know this, but we have started a brand new podcast, and it's the audio versions of our articles. So if you think, wow, these are deep dives, I don't have time to sit down and read it, you can listen to it as you commute to work or as you cook dinner or fold laundry or run errands in your car. It's called Christian Research Journal Reads. You can subscribe to it where you get your favorite podcasts. We're already on episode 22, which is our article that we did on Just War 5.0. We also featured a conversation with the very same person we're talking to today, which is Bob Perry. So please subscribe to the new podcast. And now, back to my conversation with Bob Perry as we talk about the He Gets Us campaign and evaluate their description and their way that they're kind of communicating who Jesus was and his ministry. So back to the podcast. So you've talked to us a little bit about the target audience, and are they trying to intentionally water down who the Jesus of the Bible is, or do they put like new interpretations or a certain interpretation into who they think the Bible talks about who Jesus is?
Yeah, I wouldn't question anyone's motives. I wouldn't say they're intentionally watering it down. Maybe they are. But just to be fair, I don't want to put that on them. I want to say they're trying to be culturally sensitive. I just think the Jesus they're portraying is they're trying to make it palatable to the kind of to the culture instead of just telling us who Jesus is. You know, you can offer a Jesus who tells the truth with grace, like I said, that's the biblical Jesus. But that Jesus is the guy who says stuff like, woe to you teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You know, in Matthew 23, there's a whole list of them. Woe to you, you blind guides, you snakes, you brood of vipers. How will you escape being condemned to hell? Yeah, I mean, that's Jesus. And it's okay to say that, in my opinion. That's the biblical Jesus. He does love, but he loves because he values the truth so much. Or you can offer them a Jesus who accepts everybody just the way they are. And I would say that's a culturally constructed Jesus. That's the Jesus that I think they've chosen. Back in 2022, 2 years ago, when this first started, Natasha Crane wrote a blog post that kind of went viral in October of 2022, titled Seven Problems with the He Gets Us campaign. And it highlighted the importance of identifying which Jesus we're talking about here. It was exactly the topic that we're discussing. And I'm just from her, one of the two of the main points she makes were in that blog post are this. The fact that Jesus, quote, gets us, stripped from the context of his identity, is meaningless. The campaign reinforces what culture wants to believe about Jesus while leaving out what culture doesn't want to believe. So for He Gets Us, the Jesus the culture wants us to believe in is anything but judgmental. This Jesus I just read, you know, a couple excerpts from there in Matthew 23, the culture doesn't like that kind of Jesus. And in fact, I went onto their website to search for the concept of judgment. And they actually have a hashtag judgment link that you can go to. But if you follow it, it takes you to an article about how Jesus faced criticism from the culture. There's no article to be found on the He Gets Us website about Jesus' role in judging, you know, who we are and in judgment in the end of time, anything like that. So I don't think that's an accident. I think He Gets Us is operating in a culture where judgment is considered the ultimate sin. In that kind of a climate, judgy Jesus wouldn't market very well. And this is a marketing campaign, so they don't want to emphasize that part of Jesus. Instead, He Gets Us highlights the kind of Jesus it knows people would like to meet, the Jesus who is not judgmental. And so all I'm saying is that Jesus is both. We can't just isolate the stuff we like from the stuff that the culture doesn't like and market him that way, in my opinion.
In your article, you have concerns about how they reach their target audience. And I'm just wondering, at any point, you just kind of talked about, you know, you gave an example where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. At any point in their campaign or their website or their materials, do they expand on who the Bible says that Jesus is to show more of a full scope of his ministry and the things that he taught?
I don't think they do. And I'll just give you some examples. They have, again, on their website. I'm emphasizing this, that I'm going to their website and quoting what they say, because I don't want anyone to think that it's, you know, this is just Bob's opinion. I'm quoting what they actually say, because I want to assess that and see how they're holding up or what it leads to. So on their page titled, "He Gets Us Has an Agenda," the readers are told that "He Gets Us looks at the biography of Jesus through a modern lens to find new relevance in often overlooked moments and themes from his life." And then if you go, as you scroll down the page, they have a list of hashtags that are, you know, it links to explanations or little videos, whatever, about each of these traits of Jesus that they're mentioning. So let me just, I'm just going to list them for you. These are all the ones I could find. Hashtag love, hashtag relationships, hashtag activist, hashtag hope, hashtag struggle, hashtag justice, hashtag forgiveness, hashtag outrage, hashtag reaction, hashtag refugee, hashtag inclusive, hashtag real life, and hashtag women. Now, having read that, I would invite your listeners to just what flavor, I guess you would say, comes across from that. I mean, I don't think you can get around the fact that there are a lot of, I guess you would call them code words in there for the social justice movement, social justice Jesus, I guess you would say. Repeated references to those who are marginalized by the culture. And each one of these seem to be aimed at attracting people from a progressive point of view. There's nothing wrong with that. Of course there isn't, but it's instructive that nearly every one of these hashtag references perfectly aligns with the rallying cries of the social justice movement. And the reason that's a problem is because that then becomes the framework for their approach to reaching those people. So that's the first issue that I have. The second one is, it's notable that the only specific audience mentioned in that list of hashtags or on the About Us page, again, like I said earlier, is the LGBTQ+ community. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus does love every human being made in his image. No one's denying that fact. But the problem is that there doesn't seem to be any expectations or stipulations or anything attached to that. So that stands out as a red flag to me. And that's why I say He Gets Us leaves out Jesus' primary mission in coming to this world and focuses on his secondary mission. But I think it's important that we get those right, that we understand both of them, and that we get them in the right order.
So you talked about Jesus' primary and secondary missions. And when you call some of his emphases secondary, it sounds like you're minimizing the Christian responsibility to pursue social justice, to pursue caring for the poor and the needy, and also maybe downplaying the fact that sinners, whether they be tax collectors or prostitutes, were happy to see Jesus, and he ate with them, and he fellowshipped with them. So why do you say this is a secondary mission? What concerns you about how He Gets Us handles some of the ministry of Jesus? Because it sounds like you're saying other parts of his ministry were more important.
Well, yeah, I that is what I'm saying. And so I would take you back, as I said, I wanted you to, folks to remember when I talked about the from the About Us page, their mission, it says that Jesus can inspire all of us to pursue unconditional love for ourselves and for others. So my question is this, does the gospel message really encourage us to pursue unconditional love for ourselves? Now, that's kind of a tricky question because yes, we are supposed to love ourselves. We're made in the image of God. So we are all extremely valuable for that reason alone. Every human being is. And it's important that we understand that fact because there's a tension between the fact that we are, some would say, infinitely valuable to God for that reason because he made us in his image, but we're also sinners. So you have to understand the tension between those the sinful inclinations we have to rebel against God and the fact that we're made in his image and that he loves us unconditionally for that. So I guess I would say he gets us is all about the fact that God loves us unconditionally because we're made in his image, but it never mentions the second part. It never mentions that we are rebels, that we are sinners, that we do need a savior, that we do need a rescuer. And I think that gives the people who see these ads a theologically problematic vision of Christianity's most basic truth, that we're all sinners in need of a savior. This was Jesus' primary mission, and he talked about it repeatedly. Before he was even born, the angel told Joseph that he was coming to save the world, that he was... In John 18, he says, "You are right in saying I'm a king. For that reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth." In John 3:17, he said, "God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him." Luke 19, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Luke 5:32, "I lay down my life, and I lay it down on my own initiative." John 10. "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew 20. He gets us, never mentions anything about any of that. And I would say that it is successful in what it does by directing people to the gospel. One of the parts of the He Gets Us campaign is that they have also created a series of Bible on the YouVersion Bible app. They've created a series of reading plans that they direct people to. But if you go to those reading plans, there's seven of them, and only two of them contain any reference at all to Jesus as Savior. That's not a very good ratio, I don't think. But I also think you shouldn't have to dig so far into, I think it's like 43, 45 actual days of reading plans that they've created on the YouVersion campaign. And there's only two references in all those days to the fact that Jesus has a role as Savior. I don't think it should be so hard to find that. I think it should be blatantly obvious. That's Jesus' primary mission, to come and save us, and he gets us, never mentions us. But the secondary mission is the focus of He Gets Us, and that's, like you said, am I minimizing the Christian's responsibility toward that secondary mission? And I'm not. I'm just saying that we need to put it in the right order. And he gets us reaching out to marginalized and oppressed people. They're very, very good at doing that. And if you want to, can I get into some examples from the foot washing episode that you mentioned when we kicked this off?
Sure. We'd like to hear a little bit more about your evaluation of the actual ad campaign itself. And that was the one that was shown during the 2024 Super Bowl commercials section.
Right. This went viral. It had a huge a number of views and follow-ups from it that we can get into also. But this foot washing ad shows... It's like memes. It shows a picture. You can go and watch it. I'm just going to list what it shows, but it shows a picture of one person washing another person's feet for the most part. Some of them, both people are involved, but I'm going to list what they are. There's a police officer washing the feet of a African American. There is a picture of a white and black individuals, both with their foot in the foot washing jar, and it gives the impression that they're washing each other's feet. Absolutely fantastic. There's a cowboy washing a Native American's feet. There's a young woman washing an older woman's feet. But then, you know, who could question any of that? Certainly not me. But then we get into some, like, I think politically more expressive pictures that they show. One is of a white woman washing the feet of people who appear to be migrants. So there's a kind of allusion to the whole border issue and all that. These are political issues that are getting into the He Gets Us campaign. There's another of a African-American girl washing the feet of, it looks like a Hispanic. It's hard to tell. I mean, it's a kind of a generic person, but on the corner of the ad or of the meme, there's a quote that says, "Silence hate." Now, I'm not sure how that fits in with that, but I'm just saying that's what's there. And the sign is pretty obvious when you look at it. Then there's another one with what appears to be an oil man, a roughneck kind of guy from Texan kind of looking guy, washing the feet of a Native American. And that one also has a sign that says, "Clean air now." So I guess that's supposed to be a shot at the oil industry. I don't know. Some kind of a climate change agenda is built into that one. Then there's another one of a woman whose feet are being washed in front of there's a building behind her with a sign that says "Family Planning Clinic." Well, a family planning clinic is what people refer to as Planned Parenthood. So the message that's being conveyed there is that we're supposed to wash the feet of women who might be considering an abortion. Obviously, that's a good thing too. But you see what I'm saying? They're putting these politically charged subtexts into the primary text to make a statement about something, and which I believe is a political statement. There's a Christian washing the feet of a Muslim in hijab. And then the final one is a picture of a minister. It's a minister in a black smock with a white collar and a cross. So he's obviously representing the ministry, washing the feet of someone who, I don't know how else you can describe this, except they appear to be some kind of LGBTQ transgender, something along those lines. That's the picture that they paint. So those are the foot washing instances that He Gets Us is using to say that Jesus, as you put it at the very beginning, Jesus didn't teach hate, he washed feet. So the obvious implication is that challenging any of these memes or thinking about them differently than the political subtext that they put in front of us is a demonstration of hate, which I don't know how you get around that picture, and they are doing that deliberately. It's got to be deliberately. So there's a progressive political slant to this whole ad campaign where everyone agrees we should be reaching out to people like this, all the different kinds of people. And it's obviously a part of demonstrating the selfless kind of love that Jesus calls us to demonstrate. But when you look at the actual foot washing instances in the New Testament, what are they? Well, Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples who had just been arguing about which of them was the greatest. So he's given them the signal to say, hey, don't argue about who's the greatest. I am submitting and succumbing to selfless servanthood and humility for you. And he's given them the greatest gift he could ever give. So that's the foot washing that Jesus is trying to portray. Then there's a prostitute who washes Jesus' feet as an act of humility for what? Because he's forgiven her for the life that she has turned away from. So they've twisted the meaning of the foot washing deliberately to a political agenda instead of what the Bible actually teaches. they skip the humility and the forgiveness, and they want everyone to agree or love or accept anything that everyone else is doing, is the message that I seem to get. And what I call this in my article is that HGU, that he gets his campaign, is putting the cart before the horse. In this, in the article, I called it missing metanoia.
So what do you mean? You just said in the article, you call it missing metanoia, missing the metanoia. So what is missing the metanoia from what they're doing?
Okay. When I say that, it's just kind of a alliterative way to make a point that Jesus, as I've already said, his primary mission was to rescue us. That's why he came to earth. But that's not to say that loving and caring for the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized in our culture, in our society, isn't part of the story. Obviously it is. All of us are called to do that. But the progressive promoters of social justice get this wrong. They don't just want to make us care for the marginalized and oppress the most important thing. They make it the only thing. That's the only, they never mention the other reason that Jesus came. So he gets us, elevates Jesus' care for the marginalized to the pinnacle of his mission, and then they define who's marginalized through a cultural lens. That they have, in fact, undoubtedly politicized. They don't just take Jesus' primary mission, put it on the back burner. They ignore it altogether. Now, no one is arguing that we shouldn't love and care for our neighbors and you know, see them as children of God made in his image, just like all of us are. That's not the question. But the biblical story exhorts both us and our neighbors to recognize that we're sinners in need of forgiveness, and we're called to repent. And that's why I call it missing the metanoia. The Greek word for repent is metanoia, which actually means, you know, we think of repent as to turn around and go the opposite direction or whatever, but the Greek word actually means to change your mind. So the act of repentance allows us to be transformed by the Spirit once we do that. And once we're transformed by the Spirit, the fruit of that transformation is the recognition that we need to love and care for the poor and oppressed. So I hope you're getting my point. Yes, every one of us is supposed to care for the poor and oppressed, the marginalized, but we do it because we have repented. We have changed our minds about who we are, about our human nature, and we've put our faith in Christ to do that. And because of that, that's what motivates us to care for the marginalized. It's an effect. It's not a cause in and of itself. And that's what I think is the fatal flaw in the He Gets Us campaign. It spends all its effort telling us, the viewers, to love who they are unconditionally, but never mentions their need to repent. It's missing the metanoia. And that's why I worded it that way. It's Jesus that they're marketing never asks anyone to change their mind about anything.
So, you know, this is a very interesting conversation just because, of course, the Bible calls Christians to tell others about the gospel, who Jesus is, so that they could be reconciled to God. So, you know, it's important, and they're having this big, you know, cultural maybe influence. I don't know that it would be a serious impact. I guess the question is, how do they know that they have succeeded in this campaign? Is there any way that they're measuring that they're reaching their target audiences?
Yeah, there are. If you honestly, I forget the link where I found this. It was Ed Stetzer, who's the dean of the, I believe, the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. He is one of the big advisors, I guess, to the He Gets Us campaign. And he says that they have, after the Super Bowl, after this ad aired, they generated more than 600,000 subscribers to their Bible reading plans and have had more than 300,000 verified referrals to churches. So, I mean, give them credit for the courage and compassion and boldness that they're doing this inside a culture that's become antagonistic. It's a post-Christian culture, as you hear it, CRI talk about all the time. So in that culture, that's the kind of reach they've made. And that's a good thing. I want to commend them for that. I just think we're treading on thin ice when we are attracting those kind of numbers to the wrong thing. If we're not emphasizing who Jesus is and what he did in a biblical way, then what are we really getting? I feel like if these people, all these 600,000 who are reading the Bible plans and 300,000 who've gone to churches, there's probably more by now. This was a couple months ago that I read that. I think I see two possibilities coming out of that. You can have people who get to a church that does emphasize Jesus' primary mission, that repentance and that our identity is in him and no one else once we have become a Christian. So now they're angry because they were given a bait and switch saying that Jesus loved them unconditionally for who they are. They have no need to repent. Now we've got this church asking us to repent. That is going to anger people if that happens. Or, which I think is actually worse, we create a church full of people who don't believe or subscribe to everything that Jesus actually taught. So we create churches that just perpetuate this idea that this unconditionally non-judgy Jesus is the one that they should be following. And that's just a false gospel.
So how would you recommend to our listeners, let's say they know someone who was intrigued by these ads, how should they follow up with like a personal friend that might be intrigued by the ads?
I would say to take what attracted them about Jesus and temper it with the kind of things that Jesus actually said. See, this is what I feel like. I mean, years ago, the great apologist Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason, I'm sure most of your listeners have at least heard of him. I remember him saying, he was talking, this is back in the, this is probably 20 years ago, talking about the seeker-sensitive church model. He said, the problem with being seeker-sensitive is that it always turns into seeker-centered. And I feel like the He Gets Us campaign is just a newer, more modern, bigger, more obvious version of that. That we want to reach seekers. Yes, absolutely we do. But if all we do is try to reach seekers and we construct everything about our biblical teaching and our church ministry and everything around that, then we turn into the church into a place that's just centered on seekers. It doesn't make disciples. It makes people who feel better about themselves, I guess. It's kind of a self-help support group. But the Jesus who, as I understand the biblical Jesus, that's not what he was about. It's hard to market Jesus. See, part of me is very humbled by the fact that there are people out here trying to market someone who is not very marketable. A friend of mine, Tom Gilson, who some of your listeners might have heard about, wrote a book recently called Too Good to Be False. And the subtitle is How Jesus' Incomparable Character Reveals His Reality. And in that book, he does kind of a fake resume of Jesus that comes to a director of HR from a company who's looking to hire somebody. And he gets this resume and he said he's talking to his fellow HR buddy. And he says, listen to this guy. He never learned anything from experience, especially from his own mistakes. He never admitted to making a mistake. He never showed even a trace of character growth. He rarely gives a straight answer if you ask him a question. He demands that it's his way or the highway, no exceptions, and wouldn't be friends with anyone who didn't do what he commanded. Yes, he actually does use the word commanded. That's a kind of a quote from this kind of sarcastic resume that you would get from Jesus. This is a guy who's not marketable. He's unlike any character that has ever existed in literature or anywhere else. He's beyond our comprehension for how good he actually is. And being that kind of a God, that kind of a human man, God man, he requires things from us that the He Gets Us campaign doesn't want to acknowledge. In John 6:66, Jesus was given a sermon. And after he got finished talking, a bunch of his followers turned their back and no longer followed him, is a quote from in John 6:66. And Jesus' response wasn't to say, oh, hey, wait a minute, let me clear up what I said to you. He turns to his disciples and says, do you guys want to go too? He doesn't try to woo them back. He tells them the truth. And sometimes it's a hard truth to accept, but that's what Jesus is about. And I feel like the He Gets Us campaign is trying to sell Jesus to a culture that doesn't want to know the whole story about him. And they're caving a little bit to that idea. And I just don't think that's going to end well. I don't think we're going to end up with stronger, more disciple-making churches if we don't tell people the whole story.
And one thing that we all want to be about as Christian apologists is to tell people about the real Jesus, because a false Jesus or a Jesus of our imagination or a Jesus that the culture makes up is not going to be a Jesus that truly saves. And so this has been a very interesting conversation, some good food for thought, and ways in which you can interact with folks when you see these commercials, especially a lot of us, even if we're not football watchers, it's kind of a tradition in America to watch the Super Bowl specifically for the commercials. So as they come on, and you know, you might be in a situation where you're not just with Christians, but maybe it's good food for thought to follow up. I'd like to get your input on what you saw. Let's talk about this commercial and get together and talk to people about the true Jesus, the Jesus that we see in Scripture that's revealed to us through the Gospels and through the entire Bible, actually. And so this is a good kind of jumping off point to see what there's maybe deficient in this campaign, and yet how maybe we could use it as a springboard for apologetics to talk to people about the gospel. Well, and finally, on a much lighter note, I have a question for Bob. It's almost summertime because it's May. And so besides traveling, of course, what's something that you enjoy about the summer?
Well, I love to play golf. So I'm in a couple golf leagues, and I get out there every chance I get. The weather's just starting to get nice enough around here. I'm in the Cincinnati area. It's just starting to get warm enough to play golf. So that's kind of my thing. And my wife and I spend a lot of time doing yard work too. So we just like to be outside. You know, you're trapped in, especially in this part of the country where it gets really cold for a long time and gray and dark, and it's just nice to get out.
Well, thanks, Bob, for being a guest again on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks for having me, Melanie. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to episode 394 from the Postmodern Realities podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest was Bob Perry. He has written an online feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and his article is called Marketing an Almost Jesus, Evaluating the He Gets Us campaign. You can read his article for free at equip.org. You won't want to miss out on subscribing to the other podcasts from the Christian Research Institute. We have the Bible Answer Man podcast, which is published Monday through Friday with the best of the week on Saturday. It's hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and is available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. In addition, Hank has a podcast called Hank Unplugged. Hank takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. And you won't want to miss out on the brand new podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Christian Research Journal Reads presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. It was a print incarnation of almost 45 years. It's now on the web, as you know, with new articles every single week. So you won't want to miss these audio articles of some of our most popular and most accessed articles on our website, equip.org.